back my bullets. Oh, Elon gave me back my bullets. They're gonna see more damage done. He just confronted Larry Fink today. Ezra Levant joins us in mere minutes, but here is the exclusive first video at Davos.
Do you feel any responsibility for that? Don't touch my mic, mate.
Keep your distance.
Why are your bodyguards such thugs, sir?
Larry, how are you doing this year in the spirit of dialogue? Can we have a conversation this year? Are you up for a conversation this year?
What about the spirit of dialogue, sir? Did you mean it, or was that another lie?
Obviously, since last year, you've been, I guess, promoted to the co-chair. Is that because if you want a job done right, you might as well do it yourself?
Last year, you took photos of us, sir. What did you do with those photos?
Why are you so quiet? What does the spirit of dialogue actually mean, Larry? Does it mean anything? Is it like pretending you care about the carbon footprint coming here on a private jet?
Why is your bodyguard pushing me into the street, sir?
I'm just asking you to keep your distance. Excuse me, sir. Watch the baby.
Why was the would-be assassin of Donald Trump in one of your corporate videos, sir? Isn't that a bit weird?
Do you feel any responsibility as a Jew in the current climate where there's a rise in anti-Semitism and people blame Jews for everything, saying they want to control the world, and when they need evidence, they point to you? You're the example every anti-Semite gives, and it's hard to fight. Do you feel any responsibility for that? Don't touch my mic, mate.
Keep your distance.
Why are your bodyguards such thugs, sir? Isn't that the true Larry Fink? You have all this BS about conversations and dialogue, but underneath it, you're a thug.
Spirit of dialogue. Spirit of dialogue. This is what it looks like here in Davos.
How do you feel about Donald Trump saying you can no longer buy up residential homes and rent them out for profit? Did you talk to him about that? Do you agree with him that you've been predatory in your pricing for residential houses in America?
Have you consolidated power at WEF now that you're the co-chair? What did you do with Klaus Schwab? What did he do wrong? The spirit of dialogue. This is it. Welcome to Davos 2026. The WEF, the biggest pack of hypocrites, evil hypocrites like Larry Fink, who tell us how we got to live when it comes to your carbon footprint. You got to eat bugs. But old mate here gets to fly in his private jet. And when that one got tired, he's moved on to the spirit of dialogue. Now we got to talk to opposing voices. Just like this, it means being surrounded by your goons. This year he's not taking photos of us, but just as quiet, no shame. What's your next project, Larry?
Oh, he's got new viruses on the shelf.
Your silence says everything, you know that. Why do you suddenly not care about climate change here at WEF? Why does it seem like nothing here is about carbon footprint? Is that because the AI data centers kind of destroyed that narrative?
Yeah, because you can't take
humans'
energy.
Will you admit that it was all a scam?
Checkmate.
Why do you force DEI on the companies in which you invest? Isn't that putting your own ideology ahead of shareholder rate of return? Isn't your fiduciary to get the best? Your fiduciary duty to get the best?
More of this incredible exchange or event straight ahead with Ezra Levant on the ground in Davos. Back in 60 seconds. This is History Happening, spotlighting the globalist. Share the live feeds now at Real Alex Jones on X, everywhere else. If you want to win the war, you're Paul Revere. Share it on your email and text message list now.
Introducing Ultra DNA Revival, the advanced daily supplement designed to help you feel and perform at your absolute best, starting at the cellular level. Backed by cutting-edge mitochondrial and DNA support science, Ultra DNA Revival delivers noticeable all-day energy without stimulants or crashes, faster recovery and greater endurance, sharper focus and mental clarity, support for healthy blood sugar levels, stronger immune system function, enhanced liver health and natural detoxification, reduces everyday stress and anxiety, protection against oxidative stress and the visible signs of aging. And again, this is a private label of an already best-selling brand that found this. Thousands of customers report feeling the difference in as little as 7 to 14 days. Right now, take advantage of our best pricing ever. VIP members, $34.95. Regular, $59.59. Save over 40% with a VIP membership for $30 a month. Experience the revival your body has been waiting for. Secure your DNA revival today at TheAlexShowStore.com.
From deep in the heart of FEMA Region 6, Austin, Texas, transmitting worldwide, it's Alex Jones.
Wow, WEFReports.com takes you to RebelNews.com subpage with all the reporting. They've been going there for many years. Today, I was covering the globalist elite, but this year is over the top. We already played part of it. I think we should just play it and let Ezra talk over it or start and stop it here. Larry Fink, the head of the WEF now, with a disgraced Klaus Schwab creeping back in the shadows, saying he's open dialogue. We've lost trust. We, you know, we know you hate us, but he acted just like he did last year, totally arrogant with the security. Then you talk to Nigel Farage about what's going on. You talk to the White House AI czar, David Sachs, who did talk to you, the WHO boss, Tedros. This was a huge day. I know it's like 9 o'clock at night where you're at now. So Ezra Levant, thank you for being here with us. Go ahead and give us the latest. And then, wow, this is even better than Albert Bourla.
You know, Alex, every time I'm out there, we spot a different one of these oligarchs in the wild. And you just listed some of them. There's such a range from Nigel Farage, and obviously we didn't get close to President Trump, to, you know, low-level functionaries. And we only have a brief moment of time because they're walking down this promenade, this central road in the town. But it only takes about 10 minutes to cross the whole area. So we've got to find them, identify them, run up to them, and then try and come up with something smart to ask them. And every time, you know what? I was just saying this to my colleagues. I wish Alex Jones were there because he's got an encyclopedic knowledge of all of these bad guys. And it's hard to sort of immediately switch on, okay, flip on the Larry Fink questions, flip on the Tedros questions, the WHO, flip on the questions for a Canadian politician. So all I see when I look at these videos are, oh, I wish I phrased that differently or this differently. But it,
you did a better job than I would. No, you guys knocked out.
Well, I hope one day that you'll be out here with us. And like I said yesterday, you'd be like a kid in a candy store. And some of these folks have never been asked an unscripted question before in their life. I mean, let's be candid. Larry Fink does journalism. He does media interviews every single day. On the biggest, like, a lot of people are coming to know him. They recognize him. They know his voice because he has so much media. But every single one of those journalists is pre-vetted. Every one of them knows that they only have access to him if they play ball. And so when we scrum him in the streets, our questions, they're a little prickly, I acknowledge it, but that's because his bodyguard, you can't even see half of it. They're kicking us or shoving us. One of them said, well, it's because I'm trying to get you to move away or whatever. I don't know. But my point is, we weren't asking particularly tough questions, that we don't have secret knowledge about Larry Fink. We were asking questions that I'm sure he could swat down. I mean, he's a smart guy. But the idea that he would lower himself to talk to peasant journalists on the street, as opposed to his fancy pants journalists who paid $100,000 as a WEF
membership. And the whole speech, he's given two speeches I've seen, and his surrogates, we're going to talk to little guys. We're going to engage the people. We're going to get your trust. Yeah. And then it's the exact opposite.
Yeah. And that's the thing. And that's what gets me. If he hadn't have said that, like that spirit of dialogue. You heard my colleague Avi say that a bunch of times. I mentioned it once. It's sort of this new rebranding. The other year it was rebuilding trust, spirit of dialogue. They all suggest the same thing. We're not elitist. We swear. Now, by the way, I don't mind things that are elite, if by that you mean excellence, outstanding, like an elite athlete. By elitist, what I mean is people who look down on common people, who look down on having to have any accountability, who want power without responsibility. And that's why I call the World Economic Forum a crypto government, as in a government, sort of hidden government. They don't have any elections. They don't have an official opposition. They don't have checks and balances. They don't have a Supreme Court in case they get out of control. They don't have a lobbyist registry. They don't have foreign, you know, agent registry. They don't have any of the tools we use to hold our politicians in check. Instead, it runs rampant. Absolutely everything is for sale, and including, I think, our countries. And if I had to say what the WEF is for, I would use words like globalism, corporate socialism, if you understand the contradiction in terms. If I had to say what it was against, I would say one word, sovereignty. Larry Fink fancies himself a kind of president of the world. But, of course, he's never been elected to dog catcher.
Well, yeah, that's the thing I would have raised is he wants an ESG, corporate governance, to, quote, control our behavior. What do you think of the rebellion against the public discovering that you want to be their unelected master?
You know what? I it's almost like I wish I had you in my ear.
No, your questions were as good as mine or better. Let's start going to this exchange. You just say stop it. Anytime you want, they'll stop it. So you're in charge. This is earlier today. Here it is.
Do you feel any responsibility for that? Don't touch my mic, mate.
Keep your distance.
Why are your bodyguards such thugs, sir?
Larry, how are you doing?
Can I just push off just for one sec? Pause right there before we get going. So this was early in the morning. And I think that Larry Fink thought there's no chance we would be there. Like, it's not even fully sunrise yet. And he obviously could ride in any of the limos, but he wants to go for a stroll. He's like the king of the castle. He's the alpha male, and damn it, he's going to go for a walk with his large retinue of security. I remind you, Alex, that there are hundreds of extremely well-armed police and military police. And of course, Donald Trump was in town, so they had an extra layer of security. He didn't need those toughs. It was just his way of being like, Vince McMahon strolling into the ring or something. And he did not expect to see us. As you recall, last year, he was furious that we caught up with him. Anyways, so I just wanted to set the stage. We spotted him early in the morning and we moved into position. And that one last thing, it's sort of a tricky thing because you got to run and talk, and your adrenaline's going. And the toughest job is for our cameramen who have to do all of that, but going backwards. Anyway, sorry to interrupt. Keep rolling.
Back to the video.
Can we have a conversation this year? Are you up for a conversation this year?
What about the spirit of dialogue, sir? Did you mean it, or was that another lie?
Obviously, since last year, you've been, I guess, promoted to the co-chair. Is that because if you want a job done right, you might as well do it yourself?
Last year you took photos of us, sir. What did you do with those photos?
Why are you so quiet? What does the spirit of dialogue actually mean, Larry? Does it mean anything? Is it like pretending you care about the carbon footprint coming here on a private jet?
Why is your bodyguard pushing me into the street, sir?
Just for a second.
Excuse me, sir.
My colleague Abby said, why are you really forgetting about global warming, carbon footprint? I got to tell you, we've been coming to this for, I don't know, half a decade now, and they were obsessed about sustainable this, green that, carbon reduction this, net zero, et cetera. That is almost completely gone. And, of course, Bill Gates, one of the biggest champions of that ideology, has abandoned it. Because they all want in on the AI money. And AI needs these vast data centers to take an enormous amount of energy.
And they nuclear also energy, know no one's buying there. When they all buy oceanfront property and the ice caps didn't melt. Yeah.
There was a study, an estimate, that for every four delegates at this convention, there's one corporate jet. And we went to the private airstrip at Alton Rhine, and we just saw the planes coming in. Anyway, so that's what my colleague Abdi was referring to. Is a few years ago, like Greta Thunberg was the star guest, and everything was climate this, climate that. Almost no one's talking about it. They have a couple of greenwashing art exhibits. That's over. These folks don't believe in anything that doesn't lead to their enrichment. either financially or in terms of political
power. So their new scam is the AI gold rush.
Yes, and they have a very particular job for AI, and machine-based censorship. And that's one of the front lines. I did talk to a free speech advocate of the Trump administration. You probably know who I'm talking about, David Sacks, who's appointed the AI guru for Trump. And I don't know if we have time, but I'd love to play.
Yeah, we're
going to
get to that because
later on.
But let's go back to Larry Fink this morning. Here it is.
You betcha.
So
let's roll.
What do you do with those photos?
Why you say quiet? What does spirit of dialogue actually mean, Larry? Does it mean anything? Is it like pretending you care about the carbon footprint coming here on a private jet?
Why is your bodyguard pushing me into the street, sir?
I'm just asking you to keep your distance. Excuse me, sir. Watch the baby.
Hey, pause for a second.
Why was... you
know, it's so, like I said, the bodyguard was pushing me into the street. Now, I wasn't too worried because there weren't a lot of cars. And I said, why is your bodyguard pushing me? And the bodyguard answered, not Larry... Fink, of course, and he said, I'm just asking you to move away. You weren't asking me, brother. You were pushing me. You didn't ask me. You know,
it would have been such a victory if Fink would have actually just stopped and talked to you. Let's go back to it.
Donald Trump in one of your corporate videos, sir. Isn't that a bit weird?
Do you feel any responsibility?
I don't know if you heard that. Did you hear that, Alex?
Yeah, pause. Back it up 10 seconds. Go ahead.
Yeah, back up 10 seconds and listen to this, because I asked him a question that I haven't seen any corporate journalist ask him. Play that part again. Sorry to interrupt.
Go ahead.
Biden,
why was the would-be assassin of Donald Trump in one of your corporate videos, sir? Isn't that a bit weird?
Do you feel any responsibility?
Do you have any more information on that, Alex? And maybe he has information. Maybe he could
say... No, it gets worse. Oh, it gets worse.
It gets worse? It's worse?
The would-be shooter at Mar-a-Lago was in a BlackRock-produced ad.
Oh, you know, I just... And that's what I mean. You've got this wealth of knowledge, and I'm racking my brain thinking, okay, go to the Larry Fink memory chip and try and come up with. You have that granular detail that would have been amazing to Marshall. That was my poor chance, poor effort to do my best. But
no, you did a great job. Quit saying that.
He could have given an answer. He could have said that's false. This is the truth. Here's the explanation. Like, he could have said something because he obviously has been briefed on it, but he doesn't lower himself to talk to mere citizen journalists. Anyway, I wanted to show you that I put that question to him. Keep playing the tape.
Jew, in the current climate where there's a rise in anti-Semitism and people blame Jews for everything, saying they want to control the world, and when they need evidence, they point to you. You're the example every anti-Semite gives, and it's hard to fight. Do you feel any responsibility for that?
Pause. You know, there are some Jews who live very Jewishly. They live their culture and their religion. And then there's some Jews who are just Jew by name or reputation or history, like George Soros would be an example. In fact, I think he's sort of, believe it or not, an anti-Semitic Jew. And obviously you're not going to blame all Jews for what Larry Fink does or what George Soros does. But they have that layer of wanting to control everybody. And some of them, like Jonathan Greenblatt of the ADL, say they're doing it in the name of the Jewish community. It's just whenever I see someone who's a power-hungry censor who wants to destroy countries, who wants to promote mass immigration, who wants to do all these things, I think, why does he have to be at least ethnically Jewish? Because he sort of proves the false allegation. I'm not criticizing him for being Jewish. And those were questions by my colleague, Avi.
Well, the point is they're basically hiding behind it.
Yeah, and I don't know. I think that Larry Fink is a caricature of a controlling, censorious, avaricious globalist. He is all those things, and I just wish that I didn't get saddled with ethnic stereotypes.
Yeah,
based
Ursula
on
von der Leyen's not Jewish. She literally wants total tyranny, and neither is King Charles, wants to exterminate everybody. But the point is the big front guy is Larry Fink. Let's continue with the report. Here it is.
Don't touch my mic, mate.
Keep your distance.
Why are your bodyguards such thugs, sir? Isn't that the true Larry Fink? You have all this BS about conversations and dialogue, but underneath it, you're a thug.
Spirit of dialogue. Spirit of dialogue. This is what it looks like here in Davos.
How do you feel about Donald Trump saying you can no longer buy up residential homes and rent them out for profit? Did you talk to him about that? Do you agree with him that you've been predatory in your pricing for residential houses in America?
Have you consolidated power by... Have you consolidated power at WEF now that you're the co-chair? What did you do with Klaus Schwab? What did he do wrong?
Pause for a sec. You know, I think that Klaus Schwab had a number of problems. There were accusations of sexual misconduct. The guy is
stealing money, looking like a James Bond villain, the German accent.
Yeah, I mean, and of course, working with the CIA decades ago, believe it or not, his father was an actual Nazi. I mean, there was a lot of crazy things about Klaus Schwab, but I think Larry Fink had a master plan to take over everything. And when Klaus Schwab slipped, Larry Fink was right there to grab the riches. And he is the boss now.
Well, look at it, 4 years ago, the UN merged and said that the WEF was co-equal to them. That's the merger of a corporate mouthpiece showing how powerful it was. And I said back then, I said, I think Larry Fink's the real head of it, actually.
Yeah, I think he is. And even Donald Trump said Larry Fink makes things happen. Look, Larry Fink, let's not underestimate him. He's smart. He's got a work ethic. He's got an enormous team and company. He's got a Rolodex second to none. In some ways, he is worse than George Soros. I think he's more effective than Soros. And under him, the World Economic Forum this year is the record turnout, both in terms of guests, speakers, and attendees. Anyway, back to the vid.
Here it is.
The spirit of dialogue. This is it. Welcome to Davos 2026. The WEF, the biggest pack of hypocrites, evil hypocrites like Larry Fink, who tell us how we got to live when it comes to your carbon footprint. You got to eat bugs. But old mate here gets to fly in his private jet. And when that one got tired, he's moved on to the spirit of dialogue. Now we got to talk to opposing voices. Just like this. It means being surrounded by your goons. This year he's not taking photos of us. But just as quiet, no shame. What's your next project, Larry? Your silence says everything, you know that. Why do you suddenly not care about climate change here at WEF? Why does it seem like nothing here is about carbon footprint? Is that because the AI data centers kind of destroyed that narrative? Will you admit that it was all a scam?
Why do you force DEI on the companies in which you invest? Isn't that putting your own ideology ahead of shareholder rate of return? Isn't your fiduciary duty to get the best rate of return instead of imposing your ideology on the companies you invest in?
Are you still pushing ESG? I see it everywhere. What score do you think you get this year? What's your social score? You've got fans everywhere, Larry.
When was the last time you flew commercial, sir? Or is that just for the little people?
What are you thinking about that?
Is BlackRock and WEF just the same, just the one organization now? Larry, final word to the world. This is your chance. This is your chance. Larry, no, you don't want to say anything? In the spirit of dialogue, there you go. World Economic Forum 2026. The co-chair and the boss of BlackRock gives you a taste, the perfect example of what they mean when they tell you something.
That's Larry Fink. He's the CEO of BlackRock, $20 trillion of assets under management. He's the boss of this place here. Last year, he didn't like talking to us either. He took out a cell phone and took our pictures in sort of a threatening gesture. This year he managed not to do that, but his bodyguards did a little pushing. He himself, he's learned not to say a word. For Rebel News, I'm Ezra Levant with my colleague, Avi Yamini.
Wow.
Larry Fink talks to journalists every day, but they're always pre-scripted and vetted. I think that only once a year does he talk to journalists he does not control. Help us out by helping us cover our travel fees to get here. Go to wefreports.com, and you can also see all our coverage at that same website.
WEFreports.com. Guys, we cannot do it without you.
Absolutely. Support them. Support InfoWars. We're all this together. And folks, these interviews get tens of millions of views. It changes the world. It comes up in Congress. We're spotlighting the unelected corporate government with Larry Fink publicly saying in years past, we're going to control everybody's behavior with their investment money. State of Texas this year won a big court case where they were trying to make us divest the fossil fuels, racketeering, or they would pull all the money when it was our money anyways, our investments. They backed off. So we're having big victories. Fink has to now act like he's going along with Trump. I remember when Trump first got in and went to Davos, Fink was like bragging, oh, we'll defeat America. America's over. China's going to dominate things. That was like 9 years ago. He was bragging. Oh, yeah, America's done. He, you know, now he knows. Now he's not so arrogant as Ezra Levant.
Yeah, you know, last year was the first time we put questions to Larry Fink. And my very first question was, have you spoken to the president? Since this was right after the 2024 election. And he wouldn't answer. But it was a real question because, of course, the ESG idea, it's contrary to so many things Trump believes in. But it's also contrary, as you just implied, to, you know, the responsibilities of a public company. Remember, these $15 trillion or whatever it is, dollars under management, Fink doesn't own those funds. People put their money with Fink to invest for them. And so he has what's called a fiduciary duty to invest in a way that gets them the highest rate of return on a risk-adjusted basis, not for him to use that money as a stick to beat the company. So what he'll do is he might invest, let's say, $250 million in Company X, but then he'll write a letter to Company X, and I know this because I spoke to someone who got an investment from Fink, and they'll say, we expect this LGBTQ2I, we expect this... quotas for minorities.
Well,
women,
let's be clear. It's been in the news for years. They will say, here's five or six rating groups. Pay them to come assess your company and then follow their recommendation. So it's, and then of course it's what Fink wants. Yeah.
Or we'll divest and we'll hurt your company. We'll hurt its reputation and we'll imply that you're bad people. So he's using other people. So if you want to use your own money that way, I suppose you can. But if you're taking tens of trillions of dollars from ordinary Americans and you are investing it, but then you're using that as a way for you to get in there. And
they're taking over energy, medicine, the COVID thing they were behind. And there's just so many examples of this where this is dictatorial. I mean, this is criminal.
When I was a child, I thought that capitalists were right-wing and freedom-oriented. Was I ever wrong? The smartest socialists, like George Soros, like Larry Fink, get inside capitalism and revolutionize it from within. It's sort of the Alinsky method. You know, instead of protesting outside the dean's office at university, why not become the dean and take over the university? Look at what they've done in Colombia. Most of the protesters at the encampment actually were staff at the university. Same thing in capitalism. Corrode from within, the long march through the institutions. Larry Fink is a tremendous triumph for what Klaus Schwab called stakeholder capitalism. What is stakeholder capitalism? It's the opposite of shareholder capitalism. Shareholder capitalism means if you own a share in a company, you get to make the decisions and the proportion of your ownership. Stakeholder capitalism means people who have nothing to do with the company, who didn't build it, don't own any stock, didn't buy it. They are advisors on women's studies and vegetarian studies and gay studies and racial studies. People who have a stake in your company but didn't build it, they get to make decisions. That was a creepy propaganda device invented by Klaus Schwab, and Larry Fink lives that.
You're right. More confrontations straight ahead. Stay with us.
RFK Jr. mixes something into his drink, people pay attention. Plenty of folks are wondering what was in that little bottle he uncorked during a flight.
What is Bobby Kennedy Jr. dropping into that glass of water? Methylene blue. Mel Gibson also praised methylene blue on Joe Rogan recently.
This stuff works, man.
A stimulant stimulates cells themselves to turn the cell up. This turns the energy up. That's why there's no letdown. That's why you can take this and go to sleep, too. But you sleep better on it, in my experience.
No, I really like it. I'm going to have to get on this stuff.
Here, show her Kennedy taking it. Kennedy literally gobbles it.
He must be doing something right. That ripped bod is 73 years old.
Our Methylene Blue, medical grade, made in Florida, is incredible. Cleans out your mitochondria, clarity, focus, energy. You've seen the rave reviews of every guest we've had on. It's game changing.
I feel like, wow, there's power in coalescing all your thoughts.
Did you hear our last guest, what she said happened to her?
No. What?
She said brain fog just lifted.
That's what it feels like.
I feel lighter. It's really interesting. I almost like feel smarter.
This stuff kicked in and it like instantly I just felt like this weird meditative energy. I don't know how to explain it. I don't feel jittery. I just felt like instantly like I went from 5 hours of sleep like I got last night to like 10 hours. I don't know how to explain it. This stuff's new to me, but I like it. Methylene Blue works for me.
I just kind of feel like I'm sitting up straight more. I'm thinking more. The thoughts are coming in easier. I'm making decisions faster. And it really does. And it gives you clean energy.
When I'm talking, it seems like it's not really me talking. I can hear my talking and going, wow.
I agree. It's almost like an out-of-body experience. It's like you're behind yourself.
That is what it feels like. But my brain's going really fast.
It clears the brain fog where you're actually able to focus more clearly.
For me, it's like a fog lifted, but it was like a veil lifted off, you know? Incredible. Best product that I've purchased so far.
Yeah!
I feel more energetic. I feel more alive.
I found that within 30 minutes of taking it, I have improved focus, improved short-term memory, improved energy. But if I take it late in the day, it doesn't interfere with my ability to sleep, which is very rare for something like this. I get a tingly feeling in my fingertips. It's almost like it's improving my circulation.
I feel tingling fingers.
Methylene Blue radically increases glucose uptake in the brain.
Okay.
So it makes you better and more efficient at using your sugar. We all know the brain uses like 25% of the calories in the body or something crazy.
They've done studies that chess masters burn like 5,000 calories in a day in a tournament because they're so focused on directing energy to their mind as they're thinking so critically that it's like almost like an Olympic athlete.
Well, think about this stuff. It operates in a very similar way. That's the real thing Methylene Blue does. I really believe in this product. A lot of people have bought our Methylene Blue. Our Methylene Blue is incredible. I take it personally. But yeah, I mean, like, this is a solid product. Take this in the morning. A couple hours later, you'll experience the cognitive benefits of it.
I mean, it's so good, it's scary, it's just amazing. So yes, it really does work. It varies person to person, but it's amazing.
About 15 minutes ago, I took 10 drops of the Ultimate Methylene Blue. I must say that it does a damn good job.
99% of people that take it have between moderate to just insanely good effects. So good for your whole body.
Definitely noticed my focus, cognition increased, good energy right now. I'm a practicing dentist, so I have more patients to treat coming up, so I'm always looking for that afternoon boost without the slump.
With this, it's like in your head where you're like, you can feel it. Your body's a little tingly, but you're just more aware of what's going on.
I would definitely recommend the Alex Jones Methylene Blue here. It's great stuff, so thank you, Alex. Keep it coming.
Powered by Methylene Blue. Ultra Methylene Blue at thealexjonesstore.com.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones. Discover trends and global developments years before they happen, right here on The Alex Jones Show.
All right, hour number four coming up. I'll try to get some more of your calls when our guest leaves us here. Really appreciate the calls, but we're hitting this important stuff right now. I wanted to get Ezra's bigger take before we go to some of these other confrontations, and I could talk to him for 10 hours, but we're going to run out of time. We got to kind of dare these without a bunch of comment. Nigel Farage, you've got the AI czar at the White House really saying some key things, talking to you. You've got the head of the WHO you guys confronted and more. But I wanted to play you a few clips of this just in general for where you see the globalists, because I don't think globalism is defeated, but people are waking up to it. It's definitely on its heels. And you know, the question is, what do we replace it with? I think you can't just oppose something. You've got to offer something else. I think Trump's doing that, you know, really just neo-populism and Americana 2.0. Western, you know, Renaissance. But here's Ludnick 2 days ago, and he did this repeatedly, and explained to them that globalism has failed. Either way you slice it, it's done. Then that ties into this short clip of Robert Malone nails the real definition of the totalitarian globalist system. And then just a regular guy online, don't know who he is, but he does a really good breakdown. Western governments admit they engineered societal collapse on purpose. This is on purpose. So let's play those clips back to back.
Okay.
We are in Davos at the World Economic Forum. And the Trump administration and myself, we are here to make a very clear point. Globalization has failed the West and the United States of America. It's a failed policy. It is what the WEF has stood for, which is export, offshore, far shore, find the cheapest labor in the world, and the world is a better place for it. The fact is, it has left America behind. It has left the American workers behind. And what we are here to say is that America First is a different model, one that we encourage other countries to consider, which is that our workers come first. We can have policies that impact our workers. Sovereignty is your borders. You're entitled to have borders. You shouldn't offshore your medicine. You shouldn't offshore your semiconductors. You shouldn't offshore your entire industrial base and have it be hollowed out beneath you. You should not be dependent for that which is fundamental to your sovereignty on any other nation.
Forever, and if you're Trump's actually doing it.
Dependent on someone, it darn well better be your best allies. Okay? And so that is a different way of thinking. It is completely different than the WEF. I viewed the WEF as not a flagpole in the middle, but in fact, they are the flag. Whichever way the wind blew, so it blew. You should have solar. You should have wind. Why are you going to do solar and wind? Why would Europe agree to be net zero in 2030 when they don't make a battery? They don't make a battery. So if they go 2030, they are deciding to be subservient to China, who makes the batteries.
I'm going to say a couple of words that are pretty loaded. Benito Mussolini, who actually knew something about fascism, defined it as the alliance between basically a socialist government and industry. What you are experiencing is totalitarian socialism aligned with big business. It is the definition, according to Benito Mussolini, of fascism. It's not that the right is fascist. Fascism never comes from the right. It comes from the left. It comes from socialism.
And national socialists.
Speaking as somebody from down south, what we see is a totalitarian socialist takeover of Canada.
Governments worldwide are finally admitting that they engineered the downfall of our societies. A recent US report confirms what so-called conspiracy theorists have said all along. COVID likely came from a lab incident involving dangerous, taxpayer-funded research. They also went on to admit that the vaccines were recklessly rushed, skipping proper safety trials and led to significant harms, and said that schools were unscientifically closed, causing unprecedented learning loss and psychological damage to children. This confession by the US comes just weeks after the Canadian government released a report detailing how our top security biolabs sent deadly pathogens to China's military to be used in the dangerous gain-of-function research, which eventually led to the COVID-19 pandemic. Meanwhile, across the ocean, British leader Keir Starmer admitted that Western nations had been running an open borders experiment. Mass migration wasn't some unavoidable crisis, it was a deliberate decision by world leaders. This isn't about governments failing to respond to unforeseen problems, it's about deliberate actions, one crime against humanity after another. In the past 5 years, they've funded and engaged in risky bioweapons research involving deadly pathogens with a hostile communist nation. They enacted global tyranny under the guise of public health, only for all-cause mortality to skyrocket after coercing the public into taking experimental pharmaceutical products. They pushed millions into poverty, crushed small businesses, expanded bureaucracy, and facilitated the largest upward wealth transfer in human history. They launched mass psyops to scapegoat and gaslight anyone who dared to dissent. tearing apart friends, families, and communities in the process. Framing these actions as mere incompetence or well-intentioned mistakes is an insult to the truth. Governments and transnational corporations amassed unimaginable amounts of wealth and power during a mass casualty event they caused. Anything less than international trials for these psychopaths is a mockery of justice. We cannot let those who lied, thieved, and tyrannized their way into societal destruction to bury their immense guilt in sanitized reports, only to continue ruling over us while collecting taxpayer-funded salaries. It's time we see real accountability. No more empty reports, no more political doublespeak. It's time we learn what justice looks like.
And they admit they did all this for power. You had said they would use these acts for the power grab. So I want to get to your clips here. But as there's a lot of clips, I want to get your take. Obviously, spotlighting globalism is tyrannical and taking its power away is important. But we do need to see retribution so that the criminals don't reconstitute and do it again. So we don't have this happen again. What needs to come out of this? I mean, how would you quantify the moment in history we're in right now?
Well, after the Second World War, there was something called denazification. And it's just what it sounded like. I mean, Germany needed people to rebuild it, and a lot of the leadership elite had been Nazis. You can't simply tell millions of men they cannot be involved in their country. So they had an ideological effort to purge them of Nazism. We did not have a similar decommunistification, I'm making up a word, after the fall of the Berlin Wall. And I'm not just talking about individual people who are denazified. Just culturally, we didn't make communism as odious as Nazism. I remember in high school, my high school English teacher had a hammer and sickle on his belt buckle. How was that any different than him having a Nazi swastika on his belt buckle? In fact, it's pretty well known that the communists had a larger death toll. And so I think that whether it's national socialism or international socialism, both of those totalitarian regimes have killed so many millions. I think we have to, and I'm not talking about
propaganda. The Labour Party is admittedly the Fabian Socialists in England, the most vicious group.
Yeah, and look, I'm not telling people they're not allowed to have thoughts, even to have dreams of being authoritarian. I mean, you can't tell people what to
but
think.
But as a society, and we need to all stand up and repudiate it, and it's persona, we need to shun it. It's persona non grata.
You're right. I remember in that English class, there was a classmate of mine who had escaped from communism in Southeast Asia, and I just wondered what he thought, having made it to freedom in Canada, and now this commie is teaching English. There were a lot of interesting things in the clips there, and I don't know if you know, you probably did because you follow these things. Canada has a very high security virus lab in the province of Manitoba, and they had Chinese nationals working in that lab who stole viruses and took them to China, and they were allowed to leave and go back to China without being jailed. So there's a lot of terrible militarization of viruses that I don't even think has been reported. So listen, all these things are right. I love what Lutnick said, though, and it meshes with what Pete Hegseth says and what Scott Bessent says, and it's to replace multilateralism and the rules-based international order with something a little closer to reality, which is peace through strength. It may sound like a contradiction in terms, but the only way Donald Trump is able to knock heads and get peace deals, and if he does get one in Russia, Ukraine, it'll be because the force of his personality is matched by the force of America economically and militarily.
That's right. That's why you've got to have bilateral, trilateral systems where people can make deals a la carte, not some centralized, corrupt UN and the failed globalist system. So let's get to...
And you need that central guy. You need that central guy who's going to knock heads and both sides, you know, and that has to be America. That cannot be China. That cannot be Russia. And that's why America must remain strong. It can't go the European route.
Let's stop giving us authority over the globalists. I agree. Who do we go to next? You want to show David Sachs, the White House AI?
Yeah, I want to show him. I thought I really like the guy. I don't understand all the ramifications.
And notice he stopped
AI
and talked to you, unlike Larry Fink. So that's the transparency of the White House. Here it is.
Do you think there's a rift between Europe and America on freedom of speech? Oh, that's a good question.
Exceptional question.
Yeah.
Good. We got a panel about that.
Hi, Jason.
Good to see you.
We just interviewed Sarah Rogers, who's our Undersecretary of State for Public Diplomacy. Jason and I did yesterday. And she was talking about the fact that the State Department's had to sanction some, actually, those European NGOs who are promoting censorship in Europe. In the UK, you've got over 12,000 people a year arrested for basically speech crimes. So, yeah, I think there is a little bit of a divergence here.
Do you think there's a difference?
They don't have a First Amendment the way that we do. So you could argue that the U.S. has always respected speech more than European countries. But nonetheless, it is disturbing to see what's happening on social media. People getting arrested for social media posts. Not a great situation.
Do you think there's a difference between how the European... If I could take one more question just for 1 second. Is there a difference between how the European regulators treat Elon Musk's X versus how they treated China's TikTok or other platforms that are less free speechy?
Well, all I can say is that they've been certainly rattling the saber about X recently. I mean, this happened back when Thierry Breton was threatening X over the fact that Elon conducted a Twitter space with President Trump. Remember that?
Give me 30 seconds on Canada. I don't know if you've been following. We're from Canada. There have been a number of bills.
You know, just one thing on the X. What are they scared of exactly? That their citizens are going to use X and their citizens are going to give their opinions? Like, what exactly is the UK afraid of?
Well, I mean, I have an opinion. I want to hear yours.
Yeah, I think they're afraid of facing their own citizens and their own citizens' concerns, maybe around immigration, maybe about freedom of speech. I mean, how is freedom of speech going down in Europe and going up in the Middle East? Think about that trend.
Give me 30 seconds on Canada, because that's where we're from. Do you have a view on Canada's censorship at all? Have you been following it?
No, I haven't.
Okay.
I haven't really.
Keep an eye peeled out of the corner of your eye.
Is that the next shooter drop?
Well, we need a little bit of help up there, because
I
think that we're slowly deteriorating into a European-style regulatory state.
Yeah, not great. Look, we're proponents of freedom of speech. The administration is. We hate to see our European friends, with whom we have so much in common, common Western values, not seem to respect freedom of speech as much. We hope this trend turns around. Sarah Rogers, again, who's working on this issue for the...
Very bold.
...is doing a terrific job. She was saying that we asked her, do you think things are going to head in the right direction? She thinks things are going to get better, so we'll see. Hopefully.
Thanks for your time. Appreciate it. Cheers. Rebel News comes to Davos every year in Switzerland.
All right, let's stop there and go back to Ezra. So the difference is there's the White House AI czar stopping and talking to you, has something to hide, but the globalists will never talk to you or anybody else. They just stomp off.
That made me feel good on a personal level, but far more important to me was the substance of what he said. That was a very strong endorsement of free speech on the internet. He was very familiar with the details of the UK's arrests of people on social media. He was clearly in contact with the senior diplomat at the State Department pushing back at Europe. So he's very dialed in. And that's what made me feel great about that, is he had the kind of granular detail about censorship that shows he's following it closely. This wasn't just a shallow talking point, Alex. This is someone who's a believer.
Very exciting. People don't know Trump cut $44 billion investment in the UK over the censorship. People don't know that they actually are doing some stuff there. But you're right. They don't know about Canada and all that. That's another hour. All the draconian laws are passing the mirror of the UK and Europe. Let's go to the WHO boss, Tedros. You guys ran into him. This is a short clip. Tell us what happened.
You know what? I was in line talking to someone else, actually, and there's Tedros behind me. I only had about 10 seconds. And like I say, I was shifting gears. Oh, who's that? Tedros. All right. What questions do I have? I apologize for my bit of stammering. I only really had 10 seconds with him. What would you ask in your first 10 seconds? Here's what I did.
Here it is.
Dr. Tedros, do you have any regrets about the mandatory vaccines and people being fired for not taking them, now that we know that they didn't really do the job? Do you have any regrets?
I think countries have the right to decide based on the risk, the situation in their countries.
If you had to do it all over again, would you do anything differently?
But at least he was smart enough to act like he answered your question.
Yeah, I mean, he lowers the energy. Like, if Larry Fink would just take the question, take the energy down, slow it down, give some words, frankly, that would reduce the friction. But I think Larry Fink is too much, too aggressive and combative, wants to smash everything. When you think about it, Tedros is a kind of diplomat. He's at the UN. He's used to, you know, operating between conflicting forces. In some ways, he's a better communicator than Fink. If I could do that again, I would ask him something like, do you feel personal responsibility for the fact that the United States has quit your World Health Organization? Don't you take that as a vote of non-confidence? But that's me with the benefit of
I would have said the United States has pulled out of your treaty. Your whole regime of forced vaccines has collapsed. Is this not a repudiation of your totalitarianism?
Yeah, you know what? And that's, like I said, I'll stop pestering you.
No, hindsight is always 2020, buddy.
Well, you're going to come out here with me one day.
We're going next year.
Great questions.
Let's look at Nigel Farage, who's not an enemy, but you're able to talk to him about Tommy Robinson and the promises of reform and Tory light. Here it is.
Nigel, has Larry Fink defected to reform?
I think we're some way from that still.
Nigel, you had a lot of supporters that are Tommy Robinson fans, and they were quite upset, obviously, with what you've said about Tommy. You've said Tommy has a conviction for domestic violence, for beating up women. It's not true. Would you correct that record?
Yeah, he beat up a policeman after an altercation with his wife. Listen, if I got that slightly wrong, I'm sorry, all right?
Nigel, immigration...
And I've no wish to have a fight with him at all. He does what he does. I do what I do. There we go.
What do you say to people who are worried that you're turning into a light Tory party, another version of it, because everyone's affecting?
We're taking some experience from the Tory party. We're hollowing them out, and we're leading the opinion polls. Don't worry. This won't be Tory 2.0. No chance.
Yeah, I mean, I'll say it. Farage has gone sideways. I mean, I've been interviewing him 20 years, and having dinner with him once with Roger Stone at the RNC. I got a very cold operator. We're glad he survived his plane crash. The rest of it, I can tell you, he'd be in a new Steven Spielberg's movie if they remake Raiders of the Lost Ark. It looks like a Gestapo officer in that outfit. Doesn't look very slick. What's really going on with Nigel Farage?
I think I like him more than you do. I understand he's a politician who's operating in a very challenging environment, so he has to be careful. I sort of like his line, let Tommy Robinson do his thing, which is being a movement activist, very bold, strongly speaking about radical Islam.
He has sniped at Tommy. He has said stuff like, we just accept Islam.
And that's why my colleague Avi Yamini pressed Nigel Farage to back away from one of his false statements, and I think Nigel did a little bit. Listen, Nigel Farage, God willing, will be the next Prime Minister of the UK. He's been leading all the polls for months, and I do believe that he will stop mass immigration and possibly reverse it in a Trump-style remigration. He's warming to mass deportations. He's not perfect. No politician is. You know what the Bible says, put not your trust in princes.
I've loved him for 20 years until the last few. He kind of went sideways. So, yeah.
If he destroys the UK Labour Party and brings in, I was up there, he won a special election with the motto, freeze immigration, stop the boats. I got to tell you, Alex, I'd vote for him if I were a Brit.
Absolutely. All right. Rebel Media, ladies and gentlemen, can find you guys at World Economic Forum Reports.com. More great work from you guys. Thank you so much, Ezra Levant.
Thanks for having me. And you really have been keeping the fire burning for years while the world wasn't paying attention. Now, hopefully, people are paying attention to what's going on the World Economic Forum. And thanks for giving me access to your wide audience. And hopefully, they saw some things they found interesting.
Ezra, thank you, brother. God bless. We'll talk to you soon. Wow.
Bye-bye.
So, yeah, I mean, globalism used to be hidden. Now it's out in the open. We have come so far compared to where we were. Things aren't perfect, but we've come so far. Now I want to take a few calls when we come back. And we'll continue into the fourth hour. So Sean and James and Jason and Adam and Doreen and DJ, Pat, stay there. But just briefly, I am listener supported. I need funding from you. I don't have Israel or Qatar or the WF, anybody funding me but you, thealexjonesstore.com. And I got to tell you, I designed this new hat. I love it. I think it's going to be popular. It's tan with a nice yellow and black patch. American Supply Company, established 1776 with the two gadgets and snakes on it. I'm really proud of this hat. I love this hat. I think it's going to be a bestseller. Get yours now at thealexstore.com. Also, all orders till Sunday evening at midnight with up to 45% off of the ultramethylene blue and the other products on the site. You get a free t-shirt. Limited edition t-shirt. Just until Sunday evening. And here is the shirt. Just has a Stranger Things font. InfoWars. Since 1997. Yeah, I've been on air since late 94, but heard InfoWars in 97. It's a great looking shirt. Every order gets one free. Maybe put up the shot from the site at thealexshowstore.com. And that funds this operation. And again, separately, it's up to 45% off on the supplements until Sunday as well, on top of all that. No excuse. And you're crazy if you don't get bovine colostrum, CMOS capsules and gummies, or turmeric, or ultimate burn, fat burner, ultramethylene blue capsules and tinctures, Shilajit gummies and capsules, Ultra DNA Revival, and the other great products there. These are incredible, game-changing products that empower you and your family and keep this broadcast on the air in the face of the lawfare, the DOJ, the CIA, the Democrats, our big counter civil rights suit. We already have one in there, but the big one's coming. I mean, imminently. All of this keeping us in the fight is you. We can't do any of this without you. And so many of the talking points of truth that break through the lies come out of this show. So many of the talking points you see in Trump's speeches or this broadcast. White House listens, foreign governments listen. Not just millions of people around the world who are so important. That is history happening right now, but it is regular people, your word of mouth, sharing articles and videos, your prayer, and your financial support, getting incredible products that enrich and empower you and your life at thealexshowstore.com. And everybody knows about bovine colostrum, or you should. We have the best, 2,000 milligrams per scoop. Your skin, your hair, your eyes, your guts. It's the first 2 weeks of milk from a mammal are incredible. This is concentrated bovine colostrum. At thealexshowstore.com. It's a bestseller. We've got limited edition knives, other things that are selling out, all available right now at thealexshowstore.com. And you're the reason we're still in the air despite all these attacks and all the rest of it. But I'm telling you, the products are amazing. If you'll just get them and try them, if you try one product, try the ultramethylene blue. Oh, by the way, ultramethylene red, our own proprietary formula that stacks great with methylene blue, but also great by itself. We take an hour to get into it all. It's the first three runs have sold out of it. It's limited runs. We have a bigger run just came in. Ultramethylene Red, now in stock, discounted at thealexshowstore.com. So try Ultramethylene Red now. You can't lose. You're keeping us on the air, and you're going to find out this stuff works so great. We have an 80%+ reorder on stuff like methylene blue. That's because it works so good. Nobody has that. Thealexshowstore.com. The coordinates of incredible products and the coordinates of funding the Second American Revolution worldwide. Hour number four, straight ahead. Stay with us. If you ask Grok, or if you ask a sports nutritionist, or if you ask the nutritionist on the Olympic teams, they will tell you that creatine is absolutely a must. TheAlexShowStore.com already has the very best creatine you can get on the market. Now we're introducing this, and I am extremely excited. Let me introduce you to this bad boy that comes in two delicious flavors. That is the recommended daily allowance of the highest quality type of creatine. Right there, concentrated, the very best. We get it from the top lab in the country, the highest rating. 5 milligrams of this a day. Most people think creatine is just about better muscle, healthier, more stamina. It's been proven, it's been documented. I'll show you what Grok had to say about it here in just a moment. But the first thing you need to understand is that it's not just making your muscles better or your body to be able to do more exercise. It's doing all these incredible things for your brain and everything else. And that's really more and more what scientists are saying people should focus on with creatine. And just since I've been taking creatine for the last few months, it has had dramatic effects on my clarity, my focus, my energy, especially when used with ultramethylene blue. Again, everybody knows about muscle and performance, or most people do, but what are the other benefits? Grok says secondary emerging benefits, improves anaerobic capacity and power output, may increase glycogen storage in muscles when combined with carbs. Potential brain benefits, improves cognitive performance under sleep deprivation or mental fatigue. Possible neuroprotective effects being studied in traumatic brain injury, Parkinson's, depression, etc. may benefit vegetarians and others who have a lower level of creatine in their diet. Who benefits the most? Older adults, strength and power, people with low dietary creatine. It goes on and on. Bottom line, if you're not taking creatine, you're crazy, and we've got the best.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.